Welcome to Missionary Enterprises on YouTube, Missionary Aid International. My name is Pierre Roussel. Today is program number 7. It's Sunday, January 19th, 2014. This is part 2 of this, really it's our first series, called Your Inoculation Against Deception. Part 1 was last week, the introduction. Today, we begin this part in greater details, much greater details. And before I get into it, I just want to reiterate, it's something that I want to make sure that I get out there more and more, without using too much of my time, because I have, there's always so much to say concerning a certain theme topic, is that we already have the victory. We pray before we record, and that was the word that came out of David's mouth, and it just stuck with me, and it's a word that's very, very dear to me, because I lived in defeat for many years in different areas. And a lot of people are trying to go after the victory. They're trying to get victory. And it's a path of defeat, actually. Because we already have the victory in Him. If we would just know what we have victory over and how to appropriate it, how to receive it. How do you receive things from God? By believing, by faith. Not by begging, not by squalling, not by, you know, bawling and squalling and all these different things. No, that don't work with God. Because Jesus covered all of that for us at the cross. You know, so we can live a life of victory. And a lot of this has to do with victory. Because there's no victory in deception. Absolutely no victory in deception. There's no victory in living in deception. There's no victory in living in unbelief, wrong believing, living in error. There's no victory in that. That's the realm of the enemy. That's the realm of failure, defeat, enslavement. So, we're going to start this today. I think you're going to find this pretty interesting. And I hope you take it for what it's worth, as truth. The things that I share, I didn't get it overall. Yes, I got the inoculation against the deception from Dave Roberson, but I know he got it from the Lord, but I know the Lord quickened that to me a couple weeks ago, and that's what we needed to call this series. And we're going to begin today with this little word that is used very, very often in the church world, and that's actually the word critical. And it's a subject and a theme that we find everywhere in the Old and the New Testament. Now, I won't touch much on the Old Testament, and there's a reason for that. we need to learn. I heard a good friend of mine, Pastor Earl Inman from Freedom Victory Center here in Oshawa. He said to me quite a few years ago when I first met him back in 2007, he said, "You ever notice that a lot of preachers on TV, especially even charismatic preachers, prophets, they preach on the wrong side of the cross?" And I had never heard that before, and it really, there was a ring of truth to it. And within a couple days, just watching some Christian programs, I realized that what he had said was very accurate. A lot of the references that they were using was out of the Old Testament, and that's not the subject today. But there's a lot of things that apply today in the New Testament. There's great parallels, but there's a lot of things in the Old Testament that really we can learn from, that's for sure, but they're really not part of this new creation and its realities. It's just not. So, regarding this very interesting little word, critical, it's been around for years. I mean, I had David look up for me a couple weeks ago the history of criticism. And even the history of heresies, it all fits in there eventually. I want to do a series on that, heresies and so-called heresies, because there's guys out there in the past that were called heretics at the time, and today we call them heroes. You know, from heretics to heroes. Now, hey, there's a good title for a series right there. From heretics to heroes, you know. And a lot of these guys in the past that reformed the church, they were labeled as heretics. And they were not just labeled, they were burned as heretics, and some. And today we hail them as heroes. And, but the word critical, and I have to be the first one to admit, I was extremely critical for many years after I got saved. To the point where I was just leaving work one day. I was working off Major Mackenzie Drive. I was working, I believe, for Arcadia. And I was just leaving the little public school there, getting on Major Mackenzie Drive, and I was praying in tongues. And the Lord just right away pointed it out. He says, you know, I'm not giving you all this revelation. I'm not revealing all these things to you so that you can go around and point the finger, meaning be critical, you know. And it took me years to get free. And I'm still not 100% there, but in a wrong sense of the word, of course, because that's what we're going to look at right now, because that's what it says here. We find this everywhere in the Old Testament, even more so in the New Testament. I mentioned the word critical on purpose, specifically on purpose. To be critical, as all else, there's always two sides to its meaning. There's always another side to the coin. There's always the bad and the good to anything. There's a counterfeit to everything, right? Because of the fall. Two sides to it, meaning as in the right versus wrong, criticizing. Critical, being critical is the noun side of things. To criticize or criticizing is the verb side. I'm criticizing. That's something you're doing. I'm critical. That's something I am. It's like the word faith and believe. Faith is a noun. I have faith. Believe is something you do. It's a verb. I believe. I'm believing God for something. It's something you're doing. So there's two sides to the word criticizing, which is so important regarding this series called Inoculation Against Deception. Two key words also in this title that we're going to look at down the road, which I said I was going to look at last week. I said I was going to look at it today, but we're going to get into it in a couple weeks from now, is the actual word inoculation. Very interesting word. And I would say that probably most people have no idea. But even now, once I'm done this program, once you finish watching it, I encourage you, go to your dictionary and look up the word inoculation. And don't wait for me to give it to you in a couple weeks from now. And also the word deception. Your inoculation against deception. To be inoculated against deception. Two key words. Amazingly, all of this has to do, all of it has to do with God's not only written word, which is the logos, that's the Greek word, but as well as the living word, which we would call in the Greek the rhema. And since I'm on this right now, the word rhema, or let's start with the word logos. It's Strong's number 3056. And I give these words out. And a lot of the Strong's references, a lot of details, because this is all about indoctrination. It's about teaching. It's about educating. It's all part of growth. And you know, the minute we're born again, because of this new creation, newness of life, we need to go back to school. And really, that's what going to church should be all about. Going to school to learn all about this new identity that we have in Christ, the last slash new Adam, second Adam. It's a new race. We're part of a brand new race. Yes, we're still on planet Earth. We're not living out some planet out there. There's nobody out there. Don't go looking for anybody out there. You're wasting your time. You're wasting taxpayers' money too, by the way. No, we're a brand new race on this planet within the old race. That's why Paul says we're in this world, but we're not of it in Colossians. So the logos, this series has to do with the word, the written word and the living word. The logos and the rhema, logos 3056, has the idea of something said, not the said word, not the saying word, but something that has been said, right? The word of God, it's the logos. It's something that's been said. That's something that was written. It also has the idea of subject of discourse, a topic, to talk, a speech. Also has the idea of computation. Get the word computer from it. Rhema, strong number 4487. Literally means an utterance. A living, now spoken, revealed word. A now word. When God gives you a word, when God speaks to you, wherever you may be, whether it's during the night, at work, on your bike, in the shower, wherever, when God gives you a word, that's a rhema. So these two are very intrinsically connected with this inoculation against deception. And of course, the written word, the logos, the rhema, which, you know, has also all in that, the promises of God and a lot of different things like that. But they all lead to one person, right? One thing slash person, one person. And we know who that is. It's the Word. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's Christ Jesus. John 1:1, the Amplified. In the beginning, before all time, was the Word, the Greek logos, Christ, and the Word logos was with God, and the Word logos was God Himself. Now, of course, we go down to verse 14 concerning the Word becoming flesh. We're not going to get into that right now. So let's get back to this word, critical. If we're going to get into the true sense of the word critical, criticizing, critiquing, and all these different synonyms and derivatives, we need to look at one verse. For now, anyhow, it's the main verse, and that's Hebrews 4:12. And we all know it, but I'm going to read it out here in the Amplified. And I mention a lot of the Amplified. It's one of my favorite translations. I know there's a lot of things out there said against the Amplified. I found it on the internet a couple years ago. And some of it's valid, some of it's not valid at all. Especially the criticism, there you go. The criticism against the Amplified usually comes from King James only. People that use just the King James. And I don't want to get into that. We're going to be doing it. We're going to have to do a series on that because, unfortunately, King James only, they're wrong in many ways. Now, the Amplified has its flaws. It's got its, could use some improvement. But the Amplified is a version or a translation. Sorry, it's not a version. It's a translation that God used mightily in my life to get me into the Greek and the Hebrew. So, Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God, or for the word that God speaks, is alive and full of power, it making it active, operative, or operative. Get the word operating. Energizing and effective, it is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, the soul, the psyche, that's the Greek, and the immortal spirit, word pneuma, the Greek, of joints and marrow, of the deepest parts of our nature. Now, before I go further, we looked at the word rhema, we looked at the word logos. Let's just take a quick look here at the word pneuma, spirit, and the word psyche, soul. Because they're everywhere in the New Testament, the Old Testament too. But they're very, very important in understanding, especially in light of 1 Thessalonians 5:23, which we're going to look in a couple minutes. The word, let's look at the word pneuma, spirit. Literally, it's Strong's number 4151. And we have, yes, the word spirit, the word breath, current of air, vital principle, the spirit of man, spirit of God. But we're looking at the spirit of man right now. Because man was created in God's image. What part of man was God? Did God create in his own image? Mankind, are spirit beings. They're spiritual beings. We're spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. We have an earth suit to get around on this planet. Without this suit, we couldn't get around. Forget it. That's why demons are always looking for bodies to inhabit, to dwell in. And the Holy Spirit, he can work outside of the human body for sure, and so do demons. But the Holy Spirit, that's why he came, to live in our bodies. Once we're born again by him. Also has the idea of a disposition. Immaterial part of man. And so is the soul, the psyche. The soul is also the immaterial part of man. Meaning, you can't see it. It's invisible. You'll never find it. I don't care what kind of microscope you got. I don't care how expensive your microscopes are. You'll never find the human spirit or the human soul. It's immaterial. It's invisible. It's unseen to man. But to God, it's very seen. Psyche, we have the word soul. It's Strong's 5590. Got the word soul. We got the word mind. Also carries the word life. Sometimes the word life in the English translation, it's actually the word psyche. But mostly, it's the word soul. And we're going to spend a lot of time on the soul for, my goodness, for the next 50 years. And as well, immaterial part of man. So let's go on with Hebrews 4:12. Exposing, sifting, analyzing, judging the very thoughts and purposes of the human heart. The word heart is cardia. Won't go there yet. But let's look up these words here. Exposing, sifting, analyzing, and judging. That's the Amplified. And that is literally, in the Greek, literally, the word. When I saw this word, I literally almost fell off my chair, and you really can't fall off this chair because it's got two arm sets beside it. But I'm telling you, I almost fell out of my chair when I came across this word a couple years ago. And that's when God started to set me free from wrong criticizing to get me into right criticizing. And we don't hear a whole lot about that, but we need to, because it fits in with this inoculation against deception. Because there's not enough out there right now. So the word, literally, it's the word kritikos. K-R-I-T-I-K-O-S. It's the Greek. And before we go further here, I wrote some really good definitions here. It's Strong's number 2924. Has the idea, of course, kritikos, that's a no-brainer, critical. It's got the idea of decisive, meaning to decide. or make a decision. It also has the idea of, well, the King James has the word discerner. That's a great word. That's a great, that's a really good translation. To discern. Discern what? Right from wrong. Truth from error. It also has the idea to discriminate. And I'm not talking about the discrimination that we've got in the world out there today overall, you know, over different cultures and stuff like that. And that's not what I'm talking about here. Discriminative, Strong's has. And of course, the Amplified's got the word sifting. I mean, down the road, I want to really look these words up, but I mentioned a lot of these words, and if, eventually we're going to have them all on the screen on YouTube, but we just don't have the time right now to do that. But even some of these words, to sift something, to analyze, analyzing, exposing, judging, but the word sifting and analyzing, my goodness, the word analyzing is, you get the word analytical. To sift something, Jesus talked about sifting you as wheat. You know, it's, there's just so much to this. So much to this. So, this is all part of Hebrews 4:12. The Word. The Word of God. E.W. Bullinger rightly says in his companion Bible, it's a good study Bible. There's errors in it. But overall, it's got a lot of Greek and Hebrew. And I like, overall, I like E.W. Bullinger. And I like to do these little, I like to mention these names because it you know, to get people studying for themselves. Like I said, you know, you can't believe everything these guys write, but it's a good work alongside with James Strong's and different guys like that I use. And I'll do a whole series on that eventually. But he says that the word kritikos, now I believe, I'm going to have to look this up, but I believe the actual word kritikos is actually used in other places, but in a compound word, meaning it's used with another word, it's joined with another word. And I need to look that up. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure I came across that a couple of years ago. So, but I don't want to get too far off here. Because I was told not too long ago, and it's true. I kind of all over the place sometimes. I get onto these rabbit trails, and it's good if you come back, you know. But if you're off somewhere and you kind of left off the last thought, and you don't kind of finish it off, it's not really good. But I've just got so much to share, and sometimes my mind just it's got all these things coming up inside of me, and I try to cover it all and within the short time that I have. But that's why I really like, I'm really going to enjoy what I'm going to be doing for the longest time now, because I'm going to have notes in front of me to keep me on track. You know, not to really become enslaved to the notes, like a very good friend of mine, you know, that he's the one who was instrumental in bringing me to my first missionary trip, André, Apôtre André, Apostle André. He told me, you know, have your notes, Pierre, your research, that's your gifting, that's part of your gifting, you know. But don't become a slave to it, you know. Refer to them, but then preach out of them. You know, preach out of them for 5 minutes or whatever, 10 minutes, whatever. Just let it go, you know. And that's another thing that really encouraged me was, you know, the way you are with me. When we used to get into these big conversations and theology and stuff like that, and I'd get all worked up and I'd spit and stuff like that. And he said, you know what? He says, that's the way you need to be in front of people. That's you. That's your method. Be like that. So that really encouraged me. And so that's the way I am. When I preach, that's the way I am on YouTube. I'm just myself. Get all worked up. Should get worked up. It's truth. So anyhow, Bullinger said that this word kritikos is used once alone, and he's right, and it's used concerning specifically the Word of God. So that means the Word of God itself. Get this, the Word of God itself is, quote-unquote, kritikos. We're going to get into this. Like I said, many other translations also make use of the word, English word, discerner, for the Greek word, kritikos. And that's a good word. It's a very good word. So I don't want to get too much ahead of myself today. But I do want to get this out here for the last part of this teaching, of part 7. This is going to sound a little strange or odd, but we need to warn people beforehand that once they begin to sow the word, that's a big part of your inoculation against deception. Once you begin to sow the word, once you begin to meditate the word, once you begin to speak the word, once you begin to confess the word, there's a warning here. Whether it's the logos or the rhemas that God gives you, the promises that God gives you as one of his sons, we have to warn people. And this is what happened with me, especially with the praying in tongues, because I prayed in tongues for years more than I sowed the word. But since 2007, God gave me this powerful word one day in 2007. He says, I want to hear two things. I still remember I was in my room. He says, I want to hear two things coming out of your mouth. And he already had the first one going. He says, I want to hear two things coming out of your mouth. Tongues and my word. And I've been pretty faithful to that since then. Because of what speaking God's word does. It sows it. So once you begin to sow, meditate, confess, speak God's word, his logos, his written word, and the rhemas, eventually, those who do this, they will begin to become something. Lots of things. And that word become there, I just want to, real quick here, it's the word gnomai. And it's used, it's one of my favorite words in the New Testament. It is used all over the place. It's usually translated in the English, become, to come to be. But the word gnomai, which is Strong's number 1096, literally means, the Amplified has it in John 1:3, come into existence. Come into being. To exist by creation. To be created. It's a very powerful word. The word gnomai is used not only concerning the creation of the universe in the New Testament, because it's a Greek word. It's also used concerning the incarnation. It's used concerning the new birth. It's used concerning sowing the word. It's used concerning miracles. It's used in the story of the water becoming wine. It's everywhere. So, back to this warning. Warning people. Why? Because once they start sowing the word, once the word starts to become rooted, conceived and rooted, germinating inside of you, you cannot help but becoming kritikos. You cannot help but becoming critical. You cannot help but becoming discerning. In the right sense of the word. So, I'm going to leave you for now with this. And I really encourage you to not take the things that I teach, not to take them out of context. Because, you know, you can take a teaching like this and you can make it say things that I'm not saying. So I really encourage you to really listen to the whole program, the whole teaching, and not just today, but where we're going to be teaching throughout the next weeks concerning this inoculation against deception. And and we'll just take it from there. But I'm encouraging you, as my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, to strengthen you, to encourage you, to become everything that God has called you to be in your time on this earth. So I thank you once again. And one of my favorite words is the word grace. Paul began most of his letters and ended most of his letters with the word grace, God's supernatural creative abilities be with y'all. In his name, amen.